It looked as if whatever small mark he left on the world would rapidly disappear. Instead, his impact on human history has been unparalleled. His teachings, applied through the ages, fueled the civil rights movement, formed the basis for the separation of church and state, elevated the status of women, led to the development of hospitals, and even inspired the founding of the world's top universities. Anyone who takes the time to examine his teachings and try out his way of life ends up asking themselves in wonder, who is this man?
Good morning. Wasn't expecting it to be that loud. My name is Phil Loescher, as I was very wonderfully introduced before. I am the senior vicar here on campus. I also help out with the youth ministry things and activities that go on here. And it is my privilege to lead us in the study of God's Word this morning. God's Word today will come to us from Luke 19, so if you have a phone and a Bible app, if you want to pull it out right now, give you a minute to find that. It'll be Luke 19, 1 through 10. This is the account of Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." This is the word of our God. People don't change. In frustration, you are hurt in the same way by the same person all over again. You're frustrated because they said they were sorry. They said they would change. They would never do it again. Yet here you are on the wrong end of the deal yet another time. People never change, you say to yourself, as you feel lost and lonely, because you've let yourself be hurt in the same way all over again. This time it's different, though. You've promised yourself that you've learned your lesson. People just don't change. Change is something that is at the heart and core of Christian teaching. And it's more than just a change in outward behavior. It really looks at the heart. It's a change of heart. You know, becoming somebody better, somebody different, somebody new. And this change happens not because of our power or will, but it happens because of a much greater power, the power of forgiveness, grace. Grace is God's unconditional forgiveness that comes to us where we're at, but it cares too much to leave us standing there. Forgiveness is something that was meant for all people, and forgiveness is something that really, truly transforms us. You know, God says that His forgiveness is for all people, but sometimes, some of us, I think sometimes that's us too, we start saying things like, well, surely God's forgiveness wasn't meant for that person. He's the worst of sinners. He doesn't deserve God's forgiveness. Zacchaeus was the kind of guy who felt the brunt of that kind of accusation. Listen again to how Luke describes Zacchaeus. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Zacchaeus was one of the most hated individuals around. Here's why. Everybody was taxed for anything, almost literally anything. There were import taxes, export taxes, income taxes, emergency tax, sale tax, property tax, and the list goes on, really. The chief tax collector, he came to collect your taxes. But what was special about the chief tax collector compared to all the other tax collectors is he could tax you on whatever he wanted to. And then that amount that was greater than what you actually owed, he could keep for himself. So let's put this into perspective. Let's say you owe $1,000 in taxes, all of your taxes combined, say it's $1,000. Zacchaeus or the other chief tax collectors could come up to your door and say, ma'am, sir, you owe $1,500 in taxes. Pay it up right now. You don't have a choice. You have to pay $1,500, even though you know it's only $1,000 you actually owe. So what happens to that extra $500? Well, that was pocket money for the chief tax collector. Yeah. And if that wasn't hateful enough, the chief tax collector was also an overseer to all the other tax collectors. And those men were required to pay a portion of what they received from taxes, what they collected from taxes, to the chief tax collector. That was Zacchaeus. No wonder he was so hated, right? Not only was he dishonest, not only was he wealthy, he was a super swindler. Maybe people don't hate us as much as people hated Zacchaeus. But we have something in common with Zacchaeus, and that's our orientation toward other people. That's how we view others. That's how we act toward other people. We see them as being here on this earth to make my life better. So my job is to come up with ways that I can pull what I want, pull what I need from those other people to make my life better. And that doesn't matter how I do it. It doesn't matter if I'm manipulative. It doesn't matter if I cheat them. It doesn't matter if I steal from them, as long as I get that what I want. Are we in any better a position than Zacchaeus was? If we really look hard at ourselves, really dig deep into how we feel toward others, can we not place ourselves right by Zacchaeus as the worst of sinners? But that's not the only thing that we have in common with Zacchaeus. I'm going to point you again to a portion of our gospel for today. So he, that is Zacchaeus, wanted to see who Jesus was. But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Zacchaeus had a desire to see Jesus. He had a desire to learn more about who this man was who entered Jericho. He had a hunger in himself to have something better than what he already had. Being a chief tax collector, he's already got a lot of stuff. But that came at a high price of sacrificing his relationships with other people. Now Zacchaeus had this inclination that Jesus, this man passing through, could change all of that for him. And his determination shows that. He was a short man, so he couldn't squeeze through the crowd. And the crowd wasn't budging, so he couldn't move them. He couldn't find a front row seat. So what does Zacchaeus do? Well, he runs ahead and climbs up a sycamore fig tree. Seems a little odd. And it kind of brings us back to our childhood. I mean, why did we climb trees? Well, a lot of times it was just for fun. Maybe we wanted to get away from our parents for a little bit. Maybe we did want to see further. But that's what Zacchaeus did. Because he saw something in Jesus that he wanted for himself. Love, acceptance, and forgiveness. That's what forgiveness does. But Zacchaeus, it's important to note that he wasn't manipulative. He didn't cheat Jesus. He didn't steal from Jesus. Because he didn't have to. Jesus didn't let him. This is how Jesus responds. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." By showing up at the base of that tree and demanding that he stay in the presence of the worst of sinners, Jesus showed that his forgiveness, that God's grace, is not dependent upon how worthy a person is. God doesn't keep a record of sins. He doesn't hold our sins against us. He knows that everybody desires to feel loved, to feel accepted, to be forgiven. And Jesus reaches out to fill in that emptiness because he knows that we will not make the first move. He reaches out to where we are at, deep in the trenches of our sin, desiring to be freed from that sin. And Jesus calls out to us, to all people, "I must stay at your house today." Regardless of your position in life, regardless of how many sins you've committed or you haven't committed, regardless of how you treat others or others treat you, however unworthy a person may seem to be, Jesus reaches out with his unconditional forgiveness. And there's a beautiful result. See, Zacchaeus was a man who lived a life that just focused on himself. He had this intense urge throughout his life to extort money from other people. And you really had to have that urge in order to be a chief tax collector. Not only swindling money from other people, but also squeezing money out of his subordinates. This man's heart was wrapped up in all kinds of muck, in loving money, hoarding money, doing anything and everything he possibly could to get more money. Zacchaeus was the kind of man who, if he saw a penny laying in the street, would stop anything and everything just to make sure that he could pick that up and keep it for himself. His God was money, and his greed was insatiable. But when Jesus looked up in that tree and he saw this man who was deemed as the worst of sinners sitting there in the tree, He didn't see Zacchaeus as a pathetic, money-grubbing hoarder. That doesn't mean that Jesus just ignored Zacchaeus' sin. But he saw within Zacchaeus an emptiness. An emptiness that was desiring to feel loved. An emptiness that really, ultimately, was driving Zacchaeus' sin. And as soon as Jesus reached out with his forgiveness and offered it to Zacchaeus, there was a miraculous change. This is how Zacchaeus responds. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." God's forgiveness stilled the fears that Zacchaeus had been trying for so long to quiet with his money. God's forgiveness quelled those fears, and he no longer felt fear. But he felt comfort. Now, instead of seeing other people as a means to his end, he saw them as the end. By those promises that Zacchaeus made, he would likely go from the richest of the rich to the poorest of the poor. But wealth no longer mattered most, because God's forgiveness filled Zacchaeus with love and joy and peace and promise and power. And it changed him completely. Whether we like to believe it or not, we often see other people as a means to our end. But like Zacchaeus, when we are filled with God's forgiveness, we see other people as the end. And we are filled with more joy, more peace, more love. All of that despair over what we have done to other people, that disappears. And we feel the change. But it's a change that can't stay hidden. It's a change that desires and longs to show itself in our lives. And like Zacchaeus, that's not just in our attitudes, it's in our actions. When you used to see other people as being here on this earth to ensure your care and your comfort, now you see them as God sees them, human beings. People who have needs and hurts and weaknesses, people who desire to be loved, to be accepted, to be forgiven. They are people through whom God works to satisfy your needs, but now you see them as people who benefit through the things you do, that God works through you to satisfy their needs too. The relationships you have with others, they're no longer just about satisfying your selfishness or your self-centeredness. God's forgiveness transforms you to love and forgive others just as God has done to you. To view other people and accept other people as they are. Because that's how Jesus has accepted us. Because in the end, we're really no different than everybody else. People who need God's forgiveness every bit as much as we do. God's forgiveness fills in that emptiness that was in us. That emptiness, that desired to feel the love that surpasses all understanding. My friends, we taste the compassion of God's grace and forgiveness. We feel the comfort of His grace and forgiveness. In God's Word, we see the promise. We hear the promise of His grace and forgiveness. We feel the power of His forgiveness. We are transformed from the worst of sinners to the best of friends. With God's grace and His forgiveness, people can truly change. And it's an honest and complete change. There's no masking it. There's no faking it. Zacchaeus was one of the most unlikely people to show honesty and love and forgiveness to other people. But as soon as Jesus reached out to Zacchaeus sitting in that tree and offered His forgiveness to Zacchaeus, he quickly became one of the most unlikely people to show dishonesty, to show hate, and to not forgive others. That's the effect that God's forgiveness has on us, too. So as Zacchaeus gladly welcomed Jesus and His love and His forgiveness into his life that day, joyously open up your door when Jesus knocks on that door, offering you His forgiveness. You'll find that it was meant for you. You'll find that it completely changes you. Let's close with a prayer, shall we? Almighty God, the power of Your forgiveness is amazing. It works wonders. It transforms beyond comparison. We saw that today through Your servant Zacchaeus. Guide us. Lead our hearts. Be in our hearts. Show us the power of Your forgiveness in our lives. And lead us to let that forgiveness show itself in the way that we treat others, in the things we do, the things we say, now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you.